Welcome to Alive Experience, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal teaches the Word of God with accuracy and power, always leaving his audience empowered, challenged, and ready for change. As you listen, get ready to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Talking this morning about breaking financial hardships. That is the main thing we are dealing with this August. I believe that you will be blessed. Amen. You will be transformed. Amen. And you will be happy because most of your unhappiness, if you are honest, you will know that it's connected to what we're going to talk about. And God wants you to be happy. God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to be a blessing. You know, even when we talk about offering and tithes and all these things, some of you really get very, very, concerned because, not because you don't want to give, but because sometimes you don't have what you want to give. So you just wait. God is going to bless you this month. Amen. So we're talking about breaking financial hardship. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. You told us when you spoke to the enemy, you told him, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, we are ready. Minister to us your word. Grant us access into the Spirit and cause us, oh Lord God, to be changed. Let somebody's finances change from this month. Oh God, help us. It is your will that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Thank you, Father, that somebody will encounter light this month and their lives will never be the same again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so what is financial hardship? Well, simply put, I would say it's struggling financially. Struggling to meet ends meet, or to make ends meet, I rather want to say. Struggling to have money. There's no money. The needs are there, but the money is not there. Things are difficult. As you can see, the wording that I chose is hardship. It's difficult times. And I think we are living in such times right now. The more we go through this, you know, waves, the more the economy gets affected, the more people lose money, the more companies lose revenue, you know, and the more people lose jobs. And I'm sure you've noticed that as you lose your jobs, your problems also don't get lost. They are still there, but just the money has stopped or the money has reduced. But I thank God that we live, as a child of God, you should know that God has another way of meeting your needs and my needs. God has another economy over and above the economy of this world. And the reason why Christians struggle is because we do not know God's economy. We know our country's economy. We know our company's economies, but we do not know the kingdom's economy. And that's where, you see, until you know how these things work, you will never really benefit from them. And, you know, as a pastor, I minister to a lot of people. And many a times, I know people are asking for prayer, but I know beyond that prayer, what people need is help. People need something to help them buy food. The question that I have this morning is, because, well, not even a question, it's just an observation I've made. Many Christians are broke. You know, I want to be honest with you. A lot of us are broke. We just don't have We've been talking about the building projects. Don't be fooled by what you see there. One day I'm going to give you the testimony of what you see there. If I tell you what people gave, you'll be, you know what you gave yourself. So you shouldn't even, or even you even gave in the first place. You get it? So a lot of brothers are broke. That's why they can't marry. That's why a lot of them are still staying in their parents' houses. A lot of sisters are broke. It's just a fact. It's a reality. And we need to talk about these things. We need to know what is the mind of God concerning these things. Like, is it the will of God that you and I should live the way we are living? Or are we missing God somewhere in this equation? Is it how things are supposed to be? Is it how God orchestrated it to be? Or am I missing God? And that is what we're going to try to understand this month. Because we see people from time to time, they get so excited about God. And when these realities start hitting, that excitement starts reducing. So listen carefully this month to what God wants to say. And you will be blessed. And these are not just words I'm telling you. This is going to be very practical. You're going to understand a lot of things. You're going to know a lot of things. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. I'm going to start by reading something that really shook me when I saw it the first time in the scriptures. The reason it shook me is because I never thought something like this can happen. Do you understand? I'm reading from the book of 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 down to verse 2. Just two verses. The Bible says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So this woman was the wife of a prophet. Do you understand? A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha. You remember very well that Elisha was also one of the sons of the prophet, but he was different because he pursued Elijah quite closely, and he's the one who got the anointing, the double portion anointing. The other sons of the prophet were just watching him. When you hear sons of the prophet, what do they mean? These were the students of Elijah. They were all in his school. But they distanced themselves from Elijah because, as we learn through history, Elijah was a very hard man to get along with. And it was not easy to be his student. Elijah was very, very short-tempered. He had a lot of, he had his things. Do you understand? So they started distancing, especially when they realized he's about to go. Do you understand? They felt, good luck. That's it. So finally we'll be free. But they noticed that Elisha remained closed to the man of God. Can I tell you something? Stay close. That might just be your breakthrough. So Elijah stood close. Elisha was close to the man of God. And Elisha got the double portion anointing. And his life changed completely. Now, one of those sons of the prophets was married, and he died after a while. When he died, there was a problem now. Now, his wife turned to Elisha. She came to him to talk about what was going on. Well, this is a pastor's wife. This is a prophet's wife. This is an apostle's wife. This is, that's what we're talking about. So a servant of God, he passed away and he left a wife. And she is coming to another pastor to talk about something. The Bible says, she came to Elisha saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. So you know he was serving God. He was prophesying. He was doing the work of God. You know it very well. It's not something that is strange to you. You know him personally. Just like when you are a pastor, you will know a lot of pastors. You will know their ministries. She said to him, you know that he feared God. But this is the shocking part. She says, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. And that is where my whole contradiction came. This is a prophet who served God all his life. He served under Elijah, a mighty man of God. And after that, he continued serving God. And she mentioned that he feared God. He feared God. So he had a relationship with God. So he had character. Yet we are told that the creditors were coming, meaning he owed money. He was in debt. He was owing a lot of money, probably, because the creditors were coming, and they were coming for his children that he had left behind to make them slaves. And don't watch this morning and you say, oh, I don't think this can happen to me. Listen carefully. The word of God is here for our instructions, all of us. We must learn from these things. Is it possible to serve God, to fear God, and to still live in debt? And die living debt that the only thing your children inherited are your debts? When you hear here that the creditor was coming to make them slaves, meant that he was coming to take them so they can go and work till they repay the debts their father left behind. And if you've watched around, that is what is going on most of the time. You find out that a person died, he left debts. Now the little children that are behind have to go and work and pay the debts of their father or the debts of their mother. That has been the story. Many of us, you find out that you are still paying the debt of sometimes your parents are alive, but you are already paying their debts. They haven't died. But you are already paying their debts. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house. But a jar of oil. We've always focused on the jar of oil because of the anointing, of course. But I want to bring your attention to the fact that she had nothing in the house. Nothing. He asked, what do you have? Is there something in the house that maybe we can take and give in the place of your children? There's nothing. There's no chair we can replace. There's nothing. But my husband was a pastor. My husband was a servant of God. Breaking financial hardships. Financial. This woman was under severe financial hardships. It was very difficult. So much so that the lives of her children, the only thing she had of value, that she thought she had of value at that time, because the main thing that was the value in her was the oil. So what, no matter how broke you become, don't be devoid of oil. I'm telling you right now. We're going to get into that further in the series. But let me start by saying that it is possible to be a child of God. It is possible to serve God. It is possible to fear God. It is possible to love God and to have nothing in your house. To not know when the next meal will come is very possible, because we are seeing it here very clearly. You are saying, oh, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. Please, let me shoot you a bit in the New Testament. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I have preached this message many times, focusing on that second part. Everybody has preached this message, focusing on that second part. That silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. But wait a minute. A servant of God, another one now. And this one is actually the main pastor of the church. He is the one on whom Jesus says, I will build my church. That's the guy Shepherd Wanjile was talking about here this morning. That I will build my church. I will build my church. And then Shepherd Wanjile was even telling us that, you know, to build the church, you need resources. And God was telling, Jesus was saying, I will build my church on you. The first statement that comes out of the mouth of Peter when he sees this blind man is, he starts by what he doesn't have. And he says, silver and gold I do not have. This has been the story of countless and countless and countless of believers. They have the name of Jesus. They have tongues. They have power. But they don't have money. These are the brothers that are very spiritual in the church. I'm telling you, if you hear them pray, you will feel that as I pray like this, God himself is listening. And it's true. The problem is after the service, they'll come and ask you for taxi money. If you now know what I'm talking about, that they don't have silver and gold, but they have the name of Jesus. And this is what has brought this confusion into thinking that it's as if you have silver and gold, you cannot have Jesus. So for you to have Jesus, you need to forfeit silver and gold. And this is where this whole thing is coming from. But when I look at my Bible in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8, God says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. How come the very thing God claims is his, is what his main servant is saying he doesn't have? God says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Peter says, silver I don't have, gold I don't have. I would like you to help me understand what's going on here. Is God stingy with his silver and gold? Because he says the silver is mine, the gold is mine. And the man of God starts his statement by saying, silver and gold I don't have. Breaking financial hardship. You will stop speaking like this. Amen. By the time we are done with this series, you will not be one of those. You say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And after that, I'm going to clean you up. Amen. Silver or gold? I don't have. This has become the identity of the church. Or certain churches. ABC shall never join that group. Amen. By the grace of God. And you shall never join that group. Amen. Because the creator of the universe says the silver is mine. The gold is mine. You'll be blessed this month. Amen. You'll be very, 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 very blessed. So I'm just introducing the subject. So just prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. God is going to speak to you.
Amen.
Your mind is going to open.
Amen.
And you see, this is not to turn you into a greedy, you know, funny, greedy person that is not just chasing the money. I hope you understand that the same Jesus Christ later came and saw and told us that, you know, the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of possessions. That is not what we are here for. But we need to understand that the church has been totally deprived and bereft of something that is legally hers. So much so that believers today, even when they see another believer that seems to do well in these two areas, in other words, the name of Jesus and the silver and gold, they think something is very wrong there. That is how it is today. It's as if for you to have the name of Jesus, you have to be broke permanently. Now, I've known churches where, I mean, poverty is regarded as a high level of, you know, holiness and spirituality. But let me tell you something about financial hardship. When you are broke, you borrow. Because that's what happened to the son of the prophet. A day came after ministering, he got home and there was nothing. And he looked at his wife, he looked at his children, and there's nothing to do. So he went and borrowed. Most of us that are in debt today, you are in debt. Not necessarily. I know some of us are in debt because we lack discipline, which we're going to talk about. But a lot of people are also in debt because they don't have. When you don't have and the needs are still there, you see, you don't have the money, but you still have the needs. It gets you to debt, to borrowing. Gets you to borrowing. And there's somebody watching me this morning, you've borrowed money. And you don't know how you're going to pay back. You don't know how you're going to pay back. Because you had a need. Somebody passed away. Something happened. And the need was present and the money was not there. That's why these loan sharks are there. To say, no, we will help you. Today, they don't help. When you are broke, you compromise. Number one, when you are broke, you borrow. When you are broke, you will by all means compromise. Let me tell you something. I know you are saying, Pastor, why are you saying this? The reality is that it's not easy to remain pure when you are broke. It's not impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's not easy. And I know some of you will say, Pastor, you are not speaking. Look, say whatever you want to say. That I have watched many things. I have seen so many things far too many times. And could it be that we are failing to address the real problem? And we continue to tell, no, pray more, have faith. And it's true, they must have faith. But can we also address the issue of their pocket? Can we address this issue? Acts chapter 7, verse 11 to 12. Now a famine and great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan. A famine is an economical tragedy. A famine. Back in the day, a famine was what you would call today a recession. Or an economical downturn. That things have gone very wrong. Or what we are going through right now. It's a famine. Like there's no land, there's no food, there's nothing. Things are hard. The Bible says, and our fathers found no substance, or no sustenance rather, that they couldn't be sustained. Because of the hardness of the times we're living in. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, but when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, are you understanding that? He sent out our fathers first. You see, Jacob represents Israel, represents you and me. Jacob is supposed to be in Canaan. That's the land God gave him. But a famine came and hit Canaan hard. When the famine hit Canaan, Jacob heard there is grain in Egypt. Egypt represents the world. We are delivered from Egypt into the promised land. I hope you understand that. But when Jacob heard that there is food in Egypt, it changed the whole equation. I hope you are still with me. The Bible says in verse 15, so Jacob went down to Egypt. Jacob went down to Egypt. Why? Because of the situation he found himself into. Brothers and sisters, many a times, people end up in Egypt because they are trying to fix a few things. Listen to me carefully. Some of you might already be in Egypt as I'm talking now. Are you already there? You are there. But there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Many daughters have descended in Egypt. Many pastors have descended in Egypt. Many deacons have descended in Egypt. Many worshippers have descended in Egypt. Many type of people have descended in Egypt because there's famine in Canaan. There's famine. Are you with me? When people are broke, they are not respected. Are you? Oh, okay. I'm supposed to talk to these guys here. Listen, are you listening to me? I'm saying when people are broke, they are not respected. Their words are not respected. Their ministries are not respected. Their churches are not respected. Their songs are not respected. Their wives are not respected. Their children are not. Nothing that respect runs away from such people. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 14 and 16. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. The man was poor, but he was wise. He was poor, but he was wise. He was not wise and poor. He was poor, then he was wise. Even the way the words are given to you is very important. That says that he was poor, yet he was wise. No, we're not saying that everything is wrong. It's just that the first thing that people pick in your vicinity is the poverty. That she is poor but beautiful. You see, that you are beautiful, but the poverty, you see that thing, you see that thing. He is good looking. He is poor, but good looking. He is poor, but he is a good singer. She is poor, but she is a hard worker. So this guy is poor, but he is wise. Let's keep reading. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Say hallelujah. Amen. So it means even when we are poor, you can still do great things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. You see, immediately they forget. They don't say, no one remembered that wise man. By his wisdom, he delivered the city. But they said, no one remembered that same poor man. So that was something, even though wisdom was used by him to help the people, the poverty came right back to remind everybody, no, this is who I am. This is who I am. And nobody could remember him. He said, then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Let me tell you something. In every family, in every city, there are wise people. When you come across them, you can hear them. I mean, this guy is speaking sense. But they are broke. And when you are broke, no matter how much sense you are speaking, if you like, be broke and go and start dating a lady. You will see for yourself. Except if she has the Holy Ghost and she's also broke and the two of you are trying to find yourself somewhere, she will not listen to you. Now, it's true that you must not go with the money as your main thing. I mean, look, I don't want to go ahead of myself. I'm just trying to help you understand here that in this world we are living in, if you are pastoring your church and everybody is poor, everything is broke there, nobody, you will have no voice in that community. And people will not want to associate themselves with you. Except if you don't want to hear the truth. Lastly, when people are broke, they sell their future. Because there's nothing else they have to sell. They have nothing. The only thing they have is their future. So they sell it. They sell it for all kinds of things. They sell their future for all kinds of things, all depending. And there's a terrible story in the scriptures that reveals this reality. The Bible says, and there was a farmer, it's a great farmer. You see, these famines, they create hardships. There was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cap of a dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. So the dung of a dove, the poopoo of a dove, they were even saying the doves, poopoo. It was costing money. Then as the king of Israel was passing by the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help, my lord, O the king. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the stretching floor or from the one pressed? Like, there's nothing. Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled her son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him too. But she has hidden her son. She doesn't want to allow us to eat her son. That's the trouble. That's why she's asking the king to help her. Children represent the future. Children represent destiny. But the famine was so severe that the woman decided to cut destiny short. And she took her son and boiled him. And they ate the son. Now, you must understand, this was not a normal famine, because how can you eat an entire child in a day? And the next day you are coming for the other child, like, except if it was a revenge. But really, really, even the arm of the child, it will take you a while to finish it. But when there is hardship in place, you'll be surprised what people will do. You'll be surprised what people will do, what people will sell, what people will let go of. Just to, and you see, by the next day she was hungry again. And that's the reality about this, is that as you are selling these things, your hunger and your needs do not go away. Next day, they are there again. And you need to sell something else. This thing has gone worse. There are people selling their body parts. Like they will sell a liver. they will sell one kidney. Because of hardship and because of greed and sometimes because of just desperation, people sell their lungs to smoke. People sell the whole body to prostitution. The whole thing. Praise the name of Jesus. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be very, very blessed by this series. I can tell you that right now. And, you know, I don't want you to miss next week. I'm going to take you through the roots, the main roots of financial hardship. That what causes financial hardship. And you will start understanding why is there financial hardship in your house. Like, what are the roots? Where is this thing coming from? Hallelujah. Amen. But I just want to end up by telling you something this morning, is that God does not want you to have financial hardship. Amen. It is not His will. I can tell you that right now. It's not His will. How do I know that? Because, you see, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 7 says, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. You see, what grace was he talking about? The grace of giving. But you cannot give if you don't have. And he was saying to them, I know you are abounding in faith. Now, that is Peter. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but I have this, I'm giving to you. And he, the man got healed. He was abounding in the miraculous. But Paul came and said, look, as you are abounding on, you are abounding in speaking in tongues, you are abounding in coming to church, you are abounding in your studies, see to it that you abound in this grace also. It's of necessity that on in among all the things you will abound on, that you also abound in your finances. Let it not be the area where you are dropping the ball. Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3. I'm just giving you a few. Look, next week, I'll take you through properly. Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Now, you just heard the story of that woman. She says her husband feared the Lord. You hear the story, right? The wife of the sons of the prophet. She says, your servant feared the Lord. Now the Bible says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commands. His descendants will be mighty in the land. He will not lose his descendants to a creditor. His descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Look at the next line. Wealth and riches will be in his house. Wealth and riches. The person who fears the Lord. Wealth and riches will be in your house. If you are really, you see, and they said, no, Pastor, you see, when you start bringing this thing now, you see, people will listen to me. Matthew 6:33, you know the verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then go to heaven. Is that what the Bible says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then we'll see what will happen. Is that what the Bible says? God did not leave us in the dark. All these things. What are those things? Some of these things. Is that what the Bible says? A few of these things. All these things. Why is it that you are okay with the first part of the verse, but you are having a problem with the second part of the verse? He fears the Lord. Wealth and riches are in his house. Jesus did not beat about the bush. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things. All these things. Don't tell me that all these things will not increase finances. Don't tell me that. I don't believe it. All these things. How come your all these things do not include that part? What are those things then? Breaking financial hardship. And the first place we're going to break it is in your mind. And once we break it in your mind, you will see. Because most of the time, it's not that God doesn't want to give you all these things. You are resisting them. You don't want them. You think something is wrong with that. And Satan has convinced you that you don't need this. And there's a woman, her husband feared God, and he's dead now. And I'm sure you realize that one of these days you and I will be out of here. And that's where the rubber hits the road. Because now you have these children, and now there's nothing in the house. There's nothing in the house. There's nothing in the house as we are speaking. Some people, even to bury them, you need to borrow. You borrow to bury. Then you start paying. You borrow the coffin. You borrow the clothes. You borrow the flowers. You borrow the tent to bury them. Now, they are gone. They are not feeling anything. The prophet is gone. But it's those that are left behind that are feeling the hardship. Just like some of the things you are feeling today is those that have gone, they left a lot of unfinished business in the system. And today you are feeling the hardship. But God has sent this word to help you, to help me. That realize that God is not this insensitive God who doesn't care about your personal life. Jesus told the disciples, your father knows what you need before you ask. The same Peter asked Jesus, we have left everything. We come to follow you. What's going to happen? And Jesus did not say to him, you are not spiritual. Why are you asking such questions? Jesus was very, very clear. There's nobody who left father, mother, houses to follow me will not receive in this life. He made a place in this life. Houses. Not a house. Houses. Mothers. Fathers. Children. The only thing he didn't put was wives. That one he did. He removed it. Because he said, whoever will leave his wife, his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, his houses for my sake. In this life, we receive a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, but he did not pay a wife. Jesus is very intelligent. He knew that he cannot deal with us with that part of the equation. We'll jump on that verse for the rest of our lives. So it's like he was running and then he jumped quickly. He moved to the other side. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. He made it clear, and he says, in the life to come, eternal life. We're going to read those things next week. I don't want to go too much into that now. What is it that you don't understand? When we stand before him with all this anger, I say, Jesus, you didn't take good care of me. He said, no, you didn't understand a lot of things. My people are destroyed for one thing only, lack of knowledge. That lack of knowledge is a killer. That ignorance that you are entertaining is a killer, is a destroyer. And Satan would like to keep us in this deception. But by God's grace, we are breaking out of them in the name of Jesus. You are breaking financial hardship from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to stand on your feet and to start thanking God right now. Open your mouth and start thanking God. Just thank God this morning that you are breaking out of financial hardships. You are breaking out of it. The grace of God is going to help you. as you are receiving this, understanding this man, something is going to change in your life and in my life. By God's grace, by God's mighty power, something is going to change. You will not be ignorant. You will not be ignorant. She prekalamande preleba. Zata prezukate palamanda. Je prezete prekazute kapalamanda. Branchete prezute kapelemanda. Thank you, Jesus. Pray, pray. Ask God to visit through this man. This is a month of visitation for somebody watching me. This is a month where God is going to come through and open you up. Open you up to a new dimension. Open you up to a new possibility. Please don't let the devil steal your future. Please don't let the devil make a rat of you. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us. You didn't hide anything from your word to us. You made it very clear. And this month, you want to visit this ministry in the area of our finances, because you want the whole man to be saved. And finances play a very important part in the life of a person. And we can't just continue making it look like there's nothing there. Thank you, Father, that this month, many will be set free. Many will be set free to become more disciplined. Many will be set free to take more responsibility, to become more wise, and to not be stupid and foolish. Not be foolish. That's not our portion. We belong to wisdom. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Maybe you are watching this morning and you've heard me talk about this awesome, all-important subject, breaking financial hardship. But do you know that the first step to breaking financial hardship has got nothing to do with money, but everything to do with your spirit? Because you are a spirit being. Trust me, my brother, trust me, my sister, when you die, that body you are trying to take good care of will become dust. There's a spirit in you. That spirit doesn't operate with money. It operates with divine virtues, which you're going to learn. But it is that spirit that will give you the empowerment, with the help of God, even to acquire the wealth and these other things that God wants to give you. Listen, are you born again? The first step you and I have to make this morning in our journey towards breaking financial hardship is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you want to be born again this morning, I don't want to let you go back the same way, because that is where everything starts. At the count of three, raise your right hand and I'll pray with you. One, two, three, raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. Please take your hands down. Now, you're already born again, and this morning you just feel like recommitting your life to Jesus. Because giving your life back to Jesus is a wise decision in your journey to breaking financial hardship. Everything starts in the spirit. I want you to commit my life to Jesus. I've tried on my own. It's not working. I want you to come back home. Well, at the count of three, you raise that right hand. I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. Please take your hands down. Now, we're going to pray. You repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved.
I'm
restored.
I'm born again.
I am free from the power of sin
to serve the living God.
Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me,
for forgiving me,
for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Please drop us a comment in the comment section to tell us how this message has helped you. Remember also to subscribe to receive notifications on our latest sermons. You can also watch Pastor Pascal live every Sunday morning from 10 a.m. on our church Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ. Or you can worship with us live in one of our branches in Sun City, Macharora, Padima, Mukwase, Lidach, Rustenburg, and beyond. Have a blessed day, and remember, we are alive to give life.